3rd of July, 1932. The following are notes collected from a small notebook kept while I was away. This as regards the first week. After that, I have to rely on memory alone. Set off early for the holidays by leaving work at just after 10 o'clock. Tried to meet Dad and Mum by going to Aldgate by bus, but didn't count on the amount of traffic, so I missed them. Instead, walked up Houndsditch to Liverpool Street, where I left the big case entrusted to my care. Met them, however, in Liverpool Street, and had lunch on my own at JP's, whence I returned, collected the case, and caught the train. We left Liverpool Street at 12:16, 1 minute late, but got up to about 50 mph at Goodmayes. We had to pull up, probably owing to the track widening, on the Brentwood Bank for a few minutes. After this, we got up speed again and passed Chelmsford, Colchester and Ipswich in fine style. We stopped at a big junction, which I imagine was somewhere near Norwich, though I didn't see any castle or cathedral. Apart from these, the first stop was at a tiny place called North Walsham, and the next, Cromer, which we reached on time at 3:21. Thence, learning we had about 25 minutes walk to our lodgings, we caught a taxi, and the enormous price he had the cheek to charge us, 3 and 6, for about half a mile between the three of us. "Hope I shall have the pleasure of taking you back," he said. Says him. Pleasant landlady, and the most clean, neat and tidy lodgings one could wish for. My room faces the sea, to a certain extent. After tea, we went out and along the cliffs almost as far as West Runton, and returned along the beach. Plenty of dangerous cliffs here, and, consequently, plenty of sand. Mostly fine stuff, but doesn't look bad where the water covers it at high tide. We were tired out when we returned, and weren't long dropping off to sleep. 4th of July, 1932. Mum and I met Dad down at a shelter on the cliffs almost opposite the house, and Dad and I went along the shore playing ball, and afterwards dipped our feet in the briny. We returned to dinner at 1 o'clock, and after an afternoon sleep, all went to Sheringham, paddling in the sea most of the way there and returning by motor bus. There is certainly plenty of sand, and owing to the almost entire absence of breakwaters, it stretches for miles without interruption. 5th of July, 1932. Having located the beat station and bought a timetable for local buses and trains in the town, we each purchased our holiday 7-day season ticket and caught the 11:05 a.m. train from Cromer Beach to Sheringham, where we changed for Norwich. This train joins the main line just outside Cromer LNER station and backs into that station to pick up a few more coaches before proceeding on its journey. It leaves this station at 11:42. We arrived at Whittingham, just outside Norwich, at about 12:30 and changed for Yarmouth, which we reached not long after 1 o'clock. We took a bus down to the beach and had a good fish dinner and walked for some distance along the promenade. Dad endeavoured to recollect the place in general. He has not been there for 35 years, but found it had changed beyond all recognition. We did not care for the place, so we caught a train back to Norwich at about 4 o'clock and arrived back in Cromer at about 9:30. 6th of July, 1932. Caught the 11:42 from Cromer LNER and changed at Norwich to Wells-on-Sea, where we arrived at nearly 3:15. We had a meal in the train and, having had a drink, set out along the dike for about 1.25 miles till we came to the beach. Talk about sand. The tide was out, well out. We stopped there for a couple of hours and never saw a vestige of the sea. We heard that it did come in sometimes. At the time we were there, it would appear that if we wanted to see the sea, we should have rowed across a creek which cut across the beach and then walked for about 1.5 miles across the sands before it came into sight. We preferred staying where we were. 7th of July 1932. This is the story of how we did not reach Claxton. Uncle Jim, who returned with his family from Canada in August last year and who has been mostly up at Bradford ever since, is to take over the parsonage at a little country village called Claxton at the end of this month, So we were very anxious while in the district to see if we could find the place and let him have some idea of what it is like. We caught the 11:42 from Cromer to Norwich and asked the inspector of buses outside the station if any bus ran from there to this place. We were told not, but we should catch a tram or bus at Orford Place and asked to be directed to Burr Street. This we did, and were informed by the tram inspector that buses were not allowed to stop in Burr Street. So we wandered round the market outside the castle, asking all comers if they knew the solution of the mystery. Many of the people we asked either had never heard of the place or thought we meant Clacton-on-Sea, Essex. Others directed us back to the station yard. At last, however, we found ourselves in Burr Street and asked a young lady who was putting up a shop blind the same old question. "Oh," she said, "they start just down the road, but I'm afraid you're unlucky today. They don't run on Thursdays." So that was that. So, disgusted, we directed our steps to Norwich Castle Museum. This building, which is the most curiously shaped castle I remember having seen, the keep of which resembles a sort of American cheap institution, this building stands on a large mound about 100 feet higher than the surrounding land and contains a most interesting collection of objects of natural history from all over the world and much of local interest. We stayed there for about a couple of hours while it poured with rain outside, which made us glad indeed we had not gone where we intended, and afterwards went to the cathedral. This is a most beautiful church, dating from 1101, and contains the original bishop's seat or throne behind the altar, which is the most complete one north of the Alps. We were most enchanted with the place, and could have spent hours inspecting it. However, time was drawing on, so we caught a train from Norwich not long after 6, and arrived home shortly after 7. 8th of July, 1932. Today we caught the 11:16 train from Cromer Beach and changed at North Walsham and again at Whittlingham for Lowestoft, where we arrived soon after 3. We had had an al fresco meal in the train and had drinks when we arrived at our destination. We all like this place far more than Yarmouth. It is quieter and more pleasant altogether. However, we hadn't much time to stay, so we caught a train at 5:45 to Norwich via Beccles. From Lowestoft to Beccles, we were accompanied by 2 men bound for London who were, by their most interesting conversation, engaged in studying sea life in various parts of the world. One had travelled over 16,000 miles during the past year, whilst the other had never been longer than 5 days in the same place during the last 2 months, and that was in Copenhagen. 9th of July, 1932. Dad went down to the shelter to read, where I joined him later, while Mum went down the town to do some shopping. After dinner, we caught a train from the beach station to Mundersley-on-Sea. This is a nice little place, though more suitable for children, owing to the large quantity of sand there. We caught a train home and arrived at 7:30. Here the narrative ends for good and all. Mum and Dad did at last succeed in reaching Claxton, going by way of Buckenham Ferry, a place we have never ceased to be scorned at for visiting since. I had intended, when concluding this diary, to make an apology for its non-completion and to have given instead a summary of the events, at least those of outstanding importance in my small life, up to the end of 1932. But I realise such a thing is a hopeless task, and I am very, very disappointed in not finishing the year out. Still, it's no use crying over spilt milk. I have learnt my lesson, and next Saturday week I take my 1933 holidays, taking my diary for that year with me. It will be seen from the preface of that volume that I was too busy when I returned from the 1932 holiday to get this diary up to date. Indeed, after my experience at Easter 1933, I doubt if it would have been completed had I been slack. Anyhow, Sidney Thomas Albert Flynn, 6th of July, 1933.